Matthew chapter 26, what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. It's always just such a blessing to be among God's people. But it's an even bigger blessing to know that we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today. We have the promise of His Word, where two or three are gathered together, there He will be in our midst. And today, I rejoice to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into a city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." They were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written for him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. We've been studying discipleship. And in our study so far, our emphasis on the discipleship has been our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you can't make disciples like we're instructed to do in the Great Commission if you're not a disciple yourself. And that discipleship hinges upon that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That first week we talked about commitment. We used for an example the children of Israel as they crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And we talked about the commitment that they had made, or that represented, that there was no turning back. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you have to have that point of commitment when religion as usual is not the answer anymore, but you want a discipleship relationship. Then we studied about our confidence. Jesus said, "All authority is given to me." Jesus has the authority to lay claim to our lives. You know, Jesus has the authority and the right to call you as a missionary. Amen. He has the right to send you to Mexico. Amen. He has the right to send you to South Africa. Amen? Amen. Boy, we're getting weaker and weaker on the amens. As we are disciples of Christ, we know that Jesus has the right and the authority to lay claim upon our lives, send us wherever He wants us to go, and use us however He chooses to use us. But He also has the authority or the power to back us as we serve Him. And what a confidence that gives to the disciples of Christ. Then we talked about the cost of discipleship. Jesus said, "You can't be my disciple if you don't love me beyond everything else." Then we talked about the correction last week. Title of the message last week, you remember what that was? Quit test. It's timed. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Good. Amen. But if it is broke, what? Fix it. Fix it. If it's not right, if that relationship is not right, yes, you need to fix it. All this is part of being a disciple. And today, we examine another danger in our quest for discipleship. a very real danger, and that is the danger of a life that has never truly been given to Jesus Christ. Today, I made a joke last night that I get to preach in the upper room, and I think it appropriate that we look at the one that betrayed Christ, Judas. And let's start with what Judas was. Judas was one of the chosen 12. Do you realize Judas was handpicked by Jesus Christ himself? Man, what an honor, what a privilege. He was as physically close to Jesus as anyone could be. He traveled with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He heard Jesus speak and teach. He was even an officer. He held office. He was the treasurer. A man that none of the other apostles had a clue, nothing but apparently respect for. But Judas knew what he was. And you know what the problem with Judas was? Judas was a lost man. He was a lost man numbered with the 12 apostles. He was a lost man who traveled with Jesus. He was a lost man going through all the motions. And never had he accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah. How sad is that? Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 12, he was praying, and Jesus says, "Those whom you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except one, the son of perdition." Talking about Judas. That word perdition means a disregard for the value of something. You know what Judas did? He completely disregarded the value of Jesus Christ, never receiving him as Savior. So what he did, of course, we know his greed. He went to the chief priest who had been seeking an opportunity to kill Jesus. They've had all of Jesus that they want. And so Judas goes to them and he asks the question, "What will you give me? What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" Don't you allow that to sink in. What will you give me? You see the greed, the selfishness, the personal profit that he's after? He's going to betray the Son of God for a price. Thus, the title of the message today is, "What is your price? What will it take for you to reject Jesus?" I wonder how many are here this morning. And everyone in this congregation, they've got everybody fooled. Everybody in this congregation, as they look at them, they say, "Man, that's a fine Christian person. I mean, he goes to church all the time. His name's on the church roll. He tries to do what's right. He's just a good, upstanding person." And everybody looks at him and they think the highest of him. But deep down in your heart, you know that it's all an act. You've been going to church for years. I mean, you worship and you sing out when we sing songs, and you volunteer when volunteering is needed. But on the inside, you know there's never been that life-changing commitment to Christ. Again, I tell you, you cannot be a disciple if you're not a disciple. Does that make sense? You can't make disciples if you're not a disciple. If you've never come to that point when you gave Jesus your life. And I want you to know, make no bones about it, if you are a lost person, if you've never made that personal commitment, today's message is for you. And I challenge you to ask the question, "What's my price? What am I willing to disregard Jesus for? What am I willing to betray Jesus?" You see, if you reject Jesus today, you're betraying him. You're completely disregarding the sacrifice that he made. You're completely disregarding the crown of thorns, the nails, the cross, the suffering, the agony. You're forsaking all that when you reject Jesus. What's your price? I ask you, what's going to keep you from calling on Jesus? Oh, Brother Doug, when I clean up my life, I hate to hear that. I really do. So many people have the concept that one of these days, I'm going to clean up my life, and when I get my life cleaned up, I'm going to give my life to Christ. You've got it backwards. You'll never clean up your life. You've got to let Christ clean up your life. Okay? You've got it backwards. And what you're doing is you're betraying Jesus for the price of your sin. Oh, Brother Doug, I know I need to be saved, but you know, it embarrassed me to walk down that aisle. You're going to sell Jesus to save face. Oh, Brother Doug, one of these days. Listen, whatever your excuse, whatever your price is, I want you to understand today, you're selling Jesus out. Jesus gave his all so that to pay for your sin upon the cross of Calvary, so that you could have salvation and eternity in heaven. He gave his all so you could have all that. Now you've got to decide what the value of the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf is. You've got to say, what is my price? What is my price? I could just see Judas in the text that we read. He goes to him and he asks, what do you give me? What do you give me? The Pharisees get out the money bag. And they begin to count. And it's interesting, the translation says they counted out 30 pieces of silver. That word count literally means to weigh out. They didn't just go 1, 2, 3, 4. They put it on scales. And it was custom in that day when they would pay out temple money, they wouldn't count it out, they would weigh it out. And I can just see them as they break out the scales. And they begin to put those coins on the one side. Those coins jingle every time they hit that scale. They begin to count out and it drops down, striking that scale and that balance. And one, Judas says, no way. Get serious. 2, 3, 4, 5, you're not even in the ballpark. You're kidding me, right? 9, 10, it's not worth it. 15, 20, nah, you're getting warmer. Judas is saying, you're getting closer. 21, 22. Every time the pile's ringing a little more as it gets a little bigger. 25, 26. Now we're getting up there. Judas is saying, yeah, we're getting there. 27, 28. And that scale is balancing out. 29, Judas swells up. And 30, he says, that's it. I'm with you. I'll give him into your hands. I will betray him for 30 pieces of silver. You know how much money that was? According to what I've studied, it was $21.60. He sold the Son of God for $21.60. I ask you today, what's your price? I remind you of the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, where he said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give today for the eternity in heaven that Jesus Christ bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin debt? What are you willing to swap that for today? In Matthew 16 that we just read, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That word lose, I want you to know, it's not like I lost my billfold or I lost my car keys. That word loses literally means to forfeit. You're going to have to make a decision here today. You may have everybody else fooled. We all think you're all right because you're a pretty good fellow. You come to church, you do what's right and all that. But you know deep down in your heart that you have never made a personal salvation commitment to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to decide today at what point you forfeit your soul. You can make all those excuses again. When I get my life straightened up, one of these days I'm coming. I've even had people tell me, well, I would like to, but I promised my dear dying mother that I'd never join a Baptist church because their mother was Church of Christ or Methodist or something else. I want to tell you something. Christ didn't die for a denomination. He died for you. Okay? And if you made some kind of crazy promise to your parents, is that going to be the balance that tips the scale between you being saved and you dying and spending eternity in hell? I can see it in the pew right now. As Satan offers his price, if you walk down that aisle, you're going to have to change your life. You're not going to be able to sin anymore. And you're starting to listen. Oh, if you receive Christ, you'll be embarrassed. The scales are starting to balance. Listen, I want to tell you something about the scales. If you put Jesus on one side, you could put all the world on the other and nothing's going to outweigh Jesus. Where you mess up is when you put your desires on that one side. You see, that's where Satan can start making his offers. Listen to me. You've got to decide today. And I want you to understand the love of Jesus. I want you to understand that Christ loves you. No matter what you think you've done or how bad you think you've been, that the grace of Christ can still reach you and change your life. You're not too bad. But the choice is yours. What's your price? Oh, look at Judas. Verse 21, Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray him. Verse 22 says, they were exceedingly sorrowful. Oh, it broke their heart. Can you? And I think they were all genuine except for one. I can see John saying, what, Lord? One of us? One of us will betray you? Lord, is it I? Is it me? I can see Peter saying, no, Lord. But Lord, is it me? But then Judas is sitting back and he looks at everybody else, visibly shaken and torn up. And so he realized, I've got to do something here. I've got to participate. So in his big Academy Award role, he stands up and says, Jesus, is it I? And he knew. He knew. He didn't have to ask that question. And in his Academy Award performance, he looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, is it I? And Jesus looks back at him, dead in the eye, and says, you said it. It's you. I dare you today, as you consider Jesus Christ, the love that hung him upon the cross of Calvary, the life that he gave so that you could have an eternal home in heaven. I dare you to open your mind and your heart and say, Jesus, is it I? Jesus, have I had that true salvation experience with you? Or am I the one that this message is for? Jesus, Is it I? Oh, you can play act, pretend like everything's right, but you know deep down in your heart, as Jesus looks back at you and says, you said it. You're the one. You're the one that has never had that life-changing salvation experience. I mean, it's easy to sit under preaching every Sunday and dismiss it. It's easy to fool everybody else. It's easy to act shocked that someone here might not be saved. Oh my goodness. Well, I want to offer to you, there are probably people here who are not saved. Is it you? Are you bold enough to ask? Is it I? You have to understand that the choice you make today has eternal consequences. Okay? Judas, after he betrayed Jesus was crucified, and Judas goes back. He goes back to the temple, and he cries out, I've betrayed innocent blood. Take this money. I don't want it. Take it back. You know what the Pharisees said? What's that to us? You did it, you see to it. You did it. And I want to tell you what, that was a decision that Judas never got over. He went out and hung himself with the regret that he had betrayed the Son of God. He had rejected the Messiah. And I want you to know today, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and you've got to make a decision. A decision whether to call upon Jesus Christ or to reject Him. But as you make this decision, I want you to understand this decision may very well follow you for eternity. You know how long eternity is? I don't. I can't imagine. Forever. Forever. 1,000 years, don't even get it started. Can you live with the regret of standing before the judgment seat of Christ, or standing before the great white throne judgment, hearing the words, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity? Are you ready for that? Friends, it's response time. Again, I dare you, I challenge you to ask, is it I? Am I the one that's been faking it? Am I the one that's never made a profession of faith? Judas, when he betrayed Christ, you remember how he did it? He's leading the band of hooligans out to where Jesus is praying, and Jesus sees him come and says, hello, friend. Judas comes up to Jesus and he kisses him. And he told them, the one that I kiss, that's the one you want. And he approaches Jesus and he greets him with a kiss. It was that kiss that betrayed the Son of God. Today, you're here. And Jesus is speaking to your heart. And you've asked, Lord, is it I? Jesus says, you've said, now you've got to decide. Am I going to accept? Am I going to reject? Am I going to walk out of here the same lost person that I came in? Am I going to betray the love of Jesus? Acting like nothing's wrong. You may not have the privilege of kissing Jesus today, but boy, it's just real close to that. Are you a child of God? If you're not, today's the day. Do you realize Judas could have changed at any point? I mean, when Jesus looked at him and said, you said it, that could have caused conviction and Judas could have repented. All the times he heard the message of Jesus, he could have repented. But he let it go. and he sold out the Son of God. We're going to have a verse of invitation today, and if you are not saved, I ask you with every fiber of my being, make today the day that you say yes to Jesus. Make today the day that you receive Him as your Savior. Walk down this aisle and call upon Him. Our Father in heaven, Lord, you know the ones in this congregation today who are lost. You know the ones, Lord, who have been faking it. You know the ones who've been going through the motions. You know the ones that have never had a salvation experience. They've sold you out time and time again as they listen to the excuses of Satan. Lord, I just pray that today will be the day that they stand up and refuse to believe Satan's lies any longer and call upon you for salvation. Lord, I pray your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.